Here today, gone today. The pace of change can be confusing. Then again, it can be inspiring. Every year, Harvard Business School Executive Education helps executives like you build the self-confidence and decision-making skills it takes to thrive on change. Fight change with change. Go. Start by going to hbs.me/go. That's hbs.me/go.
Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm super excited. As I mentioned, we took a couple weeks off. Little health issue there. I was under the weather a little bit and trying to revamp some stuff here in the studio. But you can find out more about Tough Talk Radio Network by going to toughtalkradionetwork.com and finding the different shows that we have that air during the week and new shows coming. I'll tell you, folks, as you step away from things for a little period of time, you get a different perspective on things that you're doing. And when you're doing things every day, you're kind of too close to it. I kind of related to, we have a family-owned remodeling business here in the Houston area. And when we have on a job for 4 to 6 weeks at a time, you start seeing things over and over, and you're blind to the obvious. You know, and I'm always explaining to my sons, it's always the obvious that's going to get us in trouble, right? So as I stepped away from my radio show for 2 weeks, I didn't feel as plugged in. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe it's just my ego. I just like to be on the radio. But I figured it out, and I think I just figured it out in my last show, was that the fact that when I'm plugged in on the radio, I'm plugged into fellow Christian, fellow like-minded people, people that have been able to recognize the power of the Lord in their journey in life, and how the Lord has helped them and helped them get through things, and how they've grown their faith, and, you know, how they've stood strong or tried to stay strong, or even the struggles that they've had and they've overcome. Okay, maybe it wasn't easy to overcome them, but what I found out was I wasn't in the canoe by myself. Other people just like me struggle. So it allowed me to keep my faith up. Okay, and as I spoke to a previous interview, one of the things about faith that we struggle with is practicing it. And we only go to it in the times of dire, dire need. We never use our faith when things are going good. So one of the things I want to challenge you out there this week to do is to try to make sure that you start practicing your faith while things are being going good in your life, when you have those smiles, when you're healthy, okay, when you feel blessed. Don't wait until the last minute as a last resort to pull out the wild card of Jesus, because I think I'm a witness to the miracles that he can do when you do that, but it doesn't always work out to our favor, okay? So if you have practiced that along the way, just like everything else, after 31 days of practicing something, it becomes a habit. And that is a good habit to have. And from what I understand, because I haven't so-called mastered it, it's a happier feeling that you will experience. So take a minute this week and look out there and look at yourself. Look what's going on around you. Be thankful that the Lord is providing for you. And even if times are tough, that you know they could be tougher. So be thankful and have the faith that you need to have in God. I made a comparison a show ago that said that in the future we're going to be driving with no hands and no feet. We're going to depend on the car to take us to where we go. And at first that's kind of cool and exciting. Okay, and then it's even better when you find out, like in Houston traffic, that you know, these crazy people are going to have the ability not to have their hands and feet on the wheel, maybe the best thing made for things. But why wouldn't we want to take our hands and feet off of some of the control that we try to have and let God lead us to our destination? You know, like in your GPS system, right? Well, God's got one built into us long before we were born. So let's take a chance this week and just maybe take a look at trusting God a little bit more, taking your hands and feet off the controls. See where he leads you, okay? And if you find something good about that, what I would do is write it down, okay? Things like that happen, write it down. So when times are going bad again, you can look at something to prove to yourself how it worked before. Or you might be able to share it with someone else that's overcoming a problem of their own. So be mindful. Think about what you're doing, what you struggle with, and when you see the reward of it, make sure to note it, because they're few and far between sometimes, and sometimes we could be that vessel that helps other people get from one spot to the next. So my name is Tony Gambone. As I mentioned, this is Tough Talk Christian Radio. We're here every week. We bring on guests that talk about things that have happened in their world, that God has done for them, struggles that they've experienced. And for you men out there, this has been a great week for guests, because the men that have come on the show are very transparent. They're willing to share what's going on. You know, as a normal habit, men don't like to share the weakness. Okay, so it's really important that you listen, especially today. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things, and I can guarantee you that someone listening here in the United States or around the world is going to find an opportunity to pause, think, and know there's chance for them as well. So you can find out more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com, how to be a guest. If you're an author, a speaker, or someone who wants to talk about the experience that God has put on them to share with others, it's so exciting in your life you just can't stand it. Or maybe you're down and out, and maybe you need some reassurance. Call into the show, 347-989-1363. We'd love to hear your story. Good or bad, we'd love to pray for you. You can email me at info@toughtalkradionetwork.com. And I'd love to pray for you. Okay, so my first guest today is a gentleman. I believe he's from Boise, Idaho. I don't know. Did I get that right? We're going to ask him here in a second. But Michael, I want to welcome you to the show. Let's see that.
Tony, thank you so much.
Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Tony. I'm so excited to be here. I really appreciate all that you do. I think you've got a phenomenal ministry going on here.
So, Michael, the last name is Jaquith?
Last name is Jaquith. This is Michael Jaquith, and it is Boise, Idaho, up here in the mountains. We're just turning out to get our first little taste of snow up here.
Oh, so today in Houston, we had an unusual 80-degree weather. Usually it's 82. At this time of year, but not complaining. I'm looking outside. It's sunny, and it's just, well, you can still wear shorts here. So, Michael, is that where you're from originally?
Actually, no, it's not. I grew up in northern Michigan, and I've traveled, lived in a couple of different places across the country, generally in the northern half, and my wife and I and our five children live out here in Boise now.
Mm. What brought you there?
I'd say work, but it was really more like it was the hand of God. So I graduated. I have a PhD in chemistry from Cornell, and I worked for Intel in Portland, Oregon for a number of years. And I don't get me wrong, Portland's a beautiful city, and there's many wonderful things about it, but there was a sense of unrest in my heart. And God basically took down, and he suggested we might move. But me being a stubborn guy, I wasn't really open to suggestion. So then he grabbed a 2x4 and whacked me upside the head with it and said, "It's time to move, Michael." And I said, "Okay." And he opened the path and led us to Boise. But it was funny. There's probably over a dozen different things that lined up to get us here to Boise. And I look backwards and I see the hand of God in each one of them.
Mm. It is amazing that that we have to get hit with that 2x4. And sometimes it's just what we need. But let me ask you this question here. I'm reading that you come from a deeply broken background, and and that you're a Catholic, you became a Catholic in graduate school. Now, I was raised Catholic at a young age, kind of. We didn't go to church every week, and I go to multi-denominational church, I guess you could say now. And, you know, I found it different in this church than in the Catholic Church because, well, all I knew was the Catholic Church, right? But it was a little bit different. I read the Bible now. I never even thought of reading the Bible before. I thought you had to speak Latin to read the Bible, actually. I guess I was ignorant. But tell me that journey. Like, what made you at that age in graduate school become a Catholic?
So let me tell you a little bit about my journey here. So when I was a little boy, there were three children in my family, and my father had a number of major addictions, one of which was anger, and another which was sexuality. And these really echoed throughout our lives as we were growing up and left with, frankly, a lot of wounds that I didn't know about till much later. But then when I was in sixth grade, he made some particularly epically bad life choices and went off to jail for 10 years. And so that left this void suddenly in the family. And it was, as you might imagine, a very, very difficult time for myself, my brother and sister, and my mother. And there's all this hardship going on and lots of upsetness and screaming and all that stuff. And I just knew that there was something else out there. And so I kind of had dabbled in a couple of religions, kind of like about what you described, you know, your early days of Catholicism were like, where you kind of maybe go to church every now and then, but don't really know anything else about it and don't really read the Bible. And so I kind of said, well, that's not right. And then I'd say I started searching for the truth. And there was a young man named Paul that I met in high school. And Paul and I became good friends. We shared two things that we loved. We loved arguing and we loved hiking in the outdoors. In Northern Michigan, that works very well. And so it took him 12 years before he finally persuaded me. I have a great deal of sympathy for any converts who take a while because I took 12 years. So you're doing better than me, probably. And I think what it was for me is God just placed in me the sense that there is part of life that I was missing because I knew the brokenness. I knew the hurt. I knew the yelling and the anger and the sexuality. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't filling that gap that I had inside me. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so it totally makes sense.
I'd say that it was probably toward the end of graduate school where I finally stopped fighting against it. In fact, I remember it was an Ash Wednesday, and I came into the church. And this was a relatively wide church, probably 200 feet wide. And I said, God uses a 2x4 to give me messages because that's what I need. And as I'm walking into the church, there's this banner spread from one end to the other that says, start it today or do it today, something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember I just walked in and it hit me like a brick to the head saying, you've got to make this change, Michael, because I was not walking the Christian path. You know, I was drinking too much. I was chasing the ladies in all the wrong ways. And I just was feeling worse and worse about it, more and more hollow every day. And so that's when I took the leap.
And taking the leap, as I was reading some of your stuff, I know that my first marriage, the lady I married was not a Catholic. In order to get married in the Catholic Church, you had to become a Catholic. So I didn't know if that was the process. Sometimes, you know, us guys, we do anything to be next to that lady. But I'm also reading here, you have a lot of hobbies. You love to hunt. Okay, and bow, rifle, and I think that's cool. I always say I hunt at the restaurant. I'm not an outdoors guy like that there. But I find it interesting. I'm reading in some of your stuff, and people can learn more about you can go to thestakesarehigh.com. Okay, that's your website, and it tells you a lot of information. You have podcasts as well. But it says you're a home brewer. And the funny thing about is that before you started doing it, you didn't even like beer. I think that's cool because most people do what they love to do. They don't do things they don't have no connection to. What made you do that?
So that's a funny story. So I didn't really like beer very much because it was all really hoppy. And then a buddy of mine, when I was living in Portland, he was a home brewer, and he introduced me to some of his home concoctions. I said, wow, that's actually pretty tasty. I kind of like that. And so he kind of taught me how to make it, and I kind of took off from there. And I've got a couple different popular things now. I've got a chocolate stout that is it's like milk, like Hershey's chocolate, but in a beer form, real low hops. I've got a citrus ale that's real low hops. It's just kind of a light, fresh kind of a thing. And know, I just enjoy doing it because I enjoy creating something that I really like. You know, I'm not going to drink a ton, but if I'm going to drink something, I want to actually enjoy it.
That's cool. I see, in this show, I try to find out who the person is and what makes them up to be the person that they are. We all have stories that God has put in us, and we have purpose and abilities that God put in us. But a lot of times, you know, when I go to your website, yeah, you have a great website. I like it. I like it a lot. But what I'd like to find out is I know that you like spiritual growth. You're in the leadership and different things like that there. But what makes you tick? Like, who is behind? Who's the guy behind the guy? You know what I mean? And so being a hunter,
sure,
and brewing your own beer, there's connection there. So I'm hoping to connect with people out there that have the same type of hobby or the same type of story. And I wanted them to know more about who you are. Well, getting back to my interview with you, and sometimes I get off track. I just get excited to know little things about people. In topics on the form that we have you guys fill out, there's a spot for topics. And you know, I always believe that God just kind of comes at you in funny ways. And things happen. I like to say it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you because he's present when you see things that are relatable to what's going on in, like, my world, right? So here it's anger, sexuality, trust, sacrifice, okay? All of them can come from one to the next to the next to the next, right? I mean, it's just a whole group of crap that we have to kind of shovel off our back and deal with individually to get to the place that we need to be. Easy to understand, complicated to do. So let's talk about that a little
right.
bit. I know that with anger, I had someone pray over me when I asked for my anger to turn into love, and they said it was generational. Now, they didn't know my family.
Yes.
But I thought that was crazy.
I believe that 100%. I believe that 100%. And I think that was one of the big changes in my life, too, was when I realized that anger is absolutely generational.
And not that our parents purposely set out to make us be that way. I just don't think they knew any differently or any better. You know what I mean? It wasn't their purpose to try to jack us up. So it's not that we're using that for an excuse, but it's an opportunity for us to identify how it happened so that we can start fixing what has happened. And I think that recognizing it is really the most important part. It's like, you know, the guy that stands up and says, yeah, my name is Tony and I have a drinking problem, you know, and you're getting counseling. But it's the same concept, I think, that to know where that came from, how that seed accidentally got planted in you, and how you now can learn how to kill the weed of that plant so you can get it out of you, you know, so... when you talk about these different things, you know, like you had mentioned about your father and stuff, and, you know, your mother must be a very, very strong lady to be able to take the reins and run with it. Okay. But looking back now, you see these different things. How can people understand when they're recognizing that from your experiences and your own experience, how you dealt with it? What are some of the things that you could help them with? Understanding.
Absolutely. And I think it's something that surprises a lot of us. I know it certainly surprised me because I went through this experience and watched this terribly destructive, venomous anger from my father. And I remember as a child saying, I will never be that way. I've seen how bad it is. And so I won't let that happen. And then I was shocked when I got married and started having children. And that same anger that I so despised seeing my father suddenly started coming out of me. And I was like, where is this coming from? And I was just so upset about that. And I remember feeling almost helpless about that. And then someone sounds similar to you suggest this idea of generational sin, generational anger, generational entrapment. And there's a great book I want to recommend. It's called Unbound. I think it's Neil Lorenzo. Fantastic book. And he talks about a lot of ways to really set yourself free using scripture, using meditation about who we are as children of God, to set ourselves free from these demons that can just linger in these family lines. And I think in my own case, what I did was, I mean, first off, as you know, we all know the infamous 12-step program. I think we kind of will stumble along similar things to that pathway. But I think the first step for me was my wife telling me, you're too angry. And for a while I fought it, but eventually I said, you know what? I think I am too angry. I think I am just really upset at a lot of things a lot of times. And then coming back with humility to her and saying, honey, I need you to help me with this, and it's going to be tough, and I'm embarrassed. And saying that to your wife is tough. And saying that to your children is tough. But you've got to be willing to do it. And I think then the other big part of me was just really diving into my faith. And it was about then I put in a policy. I heard it once. I called a no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. And it means if you don't read the Word of God first thing in the morning and last thing before you go to bed, you're in trouble. Like, you know, you've got to start your day off right and end your day immersed in the Scriptures. And those things combined with some of those prayers and some of the, you know, what they talk about in Unbound, where it made a huge difference. But it took years and still a work in progress.
Yeah. Yeah. And it all the way to the grave, I think. You know what I mean? Because, well, the good news about that is that we were created broken. So, I mean, that's not an excuse, but it is a little bit of take you off the hook kind of thing, you know, because sometimes we get so intense in trying to fix it, and it might have taken 30 years to create, so it can't be fixed in 30 days. It's going to take a period of time. Mm-hmm. So I really think that's cool. I'm on your website. I want to mention again the stakesarehigh.com, and it has favorite books: Growing in Faith, Finding Freedom, Understanding the Faith, Under Faith and Leadership, Leading Yourself, Leading Others Through Relationships. I found, you know, and I started this late in life. I'm 62 years old, so I found the Lord 8 years ago. And I found that I wanted to be a better me. And same thing, anger, right? And people would say, well, my wife would say, what are you so mad about? But I'm not mad. You know, I mean, what are you talking about? Why are you saying I'm mad? And it seems like you're angry. Well, I'm not. Now I'm getting angry, like, right? So it's a whole process, right? And one of the things that's really important is to spit that crap out of your mouth, right, so you can address it and move forward. And it seems like you have read and you have taken the opportunity to learn to be better. So I think when you start to fix self, and it spills out over our wives and our children and our friends, and they see a new person. And thank God that we can then help recreate or break that chain in our life that's been down through generations that no one even recognized at the time for our own children. So when you talk about growing your faith, okay, that wasn't something that, you know, one day you woke up and said, hey, I got strength now in the faith world. How did that process happen?
I think most of us, there's probably a few this isn't true for, but most of us find that we grow our faith the most when we enter into a period of crisis. When the fecal matter hits the oscillating unit, then all of a sudden you realize, oh, shoot, I don't have the answers, and what I have isn't working, and my wife is upset with me, and I'm upset with her, and nothing is working, and you're banging your head against a wall, and you realize, I've got something wrong in how I'm looking at the world. And when you hit that point, you've got to go one of two directions. You either have to go to say, there's a better way out there, and I want to find it, or you say, it's all screwed, and you give up and toss in the towel. And I think it's tempting to take the latter of those two approaches, but we know, deep down, we know that that only leads to more misery, and that only leads to more unhappiness, even though it sounds easy to do at the time. And so for me, I think I've had a number of those periods. I think marriage is oftentimes cyclical. You kind of have good phases and then bumpier, rockier phases. And every time I go into one of those rocky phases, I realize that probably most of the problem, that at least the problem I need to work on, but probably even most of the problem is me. And so I step back and I say, shoot, I'm really making life tough here for myself, for my wife, for my family. I've got to change some of what I'm doing here because I don't want this to be my future. And so in those moments, that's when I got to start looking and I start reading. Because the truth is, you know, humans have been more or less the same kind of creature for thousands of years. And there's all this wisdom that's been captured in literature for thousands of years. We can look back and say, you know, the writings of Aristotle are still applicable today. It was written back in 300, but we still have the same suffering. And I think that's what we have to do when we hit those really, really bumpy points of suffering.
I like that. And, you know, I'm on your website again, and I know I've said it a few times, but I want people to check you out. TheStakesAreHigh.com. And in your story, it talks about, I mean, you're a very smart guy, right? You have a PhD in chemistry, and you have a bachelor's in chemical engineering. really smart guy, and you recognize as the defense doctor. You have a fence business, and we have a home remodeling business here in my family, and I just find it interesting that you are able to cover such an area in education and then bring that to the everyday person, because when you're doing fences, you're working around people's houses and you're dealing with everyday folks. And I have to imagine, you correct me if I'm wrong, but your life spills out over them. You're a witness to what's going on to them. I believe because you do a podcast that you're not a very shy person. You're very transparent. And how did you take that? Because we're guys, right? We could fix everything. Duct tape, some rope, you know, it's not that hard, right? But how did you take what you do as a fence maker and repair guy, how did you use that to repairing yourself? And looking back at your education, like reading is easy for you. I mean, like to get to where you were in college, you had to be able to read and understand. So you're a very smart guy. But how did you take that process and make it unique for you to help others in the houses that you work around?
I think that's a great question. And I want to tell you two quick stories, I think, to answer it. First, you know, I don't know. In fact, I do know for sure. I would never have guessed that this is where I would end up if you'd asked me 10 years ago. I think, you know, in the last 5 years here, God has been whacking me upside the head with that 2x4 pretty regularly, saying, okay, now you're doing this, now you're doing this. And I've learned the hard way. Just it sometimes works out better. In fact, it almost always works out better to just try to go with his plan. And so, you know, I certainly had not intended to be the owner and manager of this fencing business, but you know, it paid out because the last two pregnancies my wife and I have had, she's been on bed rest. The first one was 4 months and the last one was 6 months. And if we hadn't had the flexible lifestyle of being a small business owner, I don't know what we would have done. But the second story I want to share with you real quickly here, and I think this is a great story that really demonstrates what God can do when you let him take over. Right after we bought this company, we were pretty nervous and we knew we needed to change some stuff because I needed to be able to be home to support her. And so I'm working out on this job, and one of my employees, I built up a friendship with him, and he felt this level of trust come open to me. He comes up to me, and he says to me, you know, Michael, can I ask you a personal question? I'm going to call him Bob. It's not his name. I say, Bob, of course you can. What is it? And he says, Michael, can you tell me what repentance means? And I could tell that Bob had no idea what the word actually meant at all. He'd never had the scripture explained to him. And so I paused, and I just said a real quick prayer for the Holy Spirit to tell me what to say to Bob. And the Holy Spirit said, tell him the story of David and Bathsheba. I said, all right. So I told him that story. And that when Nathan says, you are that man, and David repents, this guy just almost fell over. He said, oh, that's what I need. I need some of that. How do I get more? So I bought him a Bible. And then he started reading through the Bible. And then we would talk about the Bible as we went, you know, each day when we worked next to each other. So here's where the story gets interesting, though. About 2 weeks later on, I get a call from the neighbor of the house we were working on. And the neighbor says, we need you to come out and give us a bid for a fence. Our contractor told us we have to go with you. I thought, oh, that's interesting. So I say, of course, I come out there and I do the bid. And on the way out, I see the contractor. So I pause and I say, sir, I really wanted to say thank you for your kind words and support that your client should choose us. And I said, can you tell me when we've worked together before? And he says, we haven't. I say, well, what is it that you based your recommendation on? It was such a strong recommendation. He said, nothing. I said, well, why'd you say that to him yet? And he looks at me and says, any man who will talk about the scriptures with his employees is a man that I'm going to work with. And you just see, like, it's scary. It's risky to put yourself out there in today's world, especially. But God will honor that. And, you know, I've just found that over time that when I emphasize my faith in what I do, my employees, my clients, who I'm with, sometimes I get laughed at and derided a little bit. But more often than not, it tends to yield fruit, even if fruit's longer on down the road.
Yeah, and without a doubt. And, you know, what's the thing? I want to mention you do a radio show, it's called Catholic Commute. Is that the name of the show, I believe?
Right, the Catholic Commute. The idea is that if you're a guy or even a gal, I got several female listeners as well, who's driving to work on a regular basis, it's a little 30-minute dose of something just to kind of get your mind focused on something to grow on, something to chew on to make your life a little better, rather than listening to sports talk radio. Just give yourself a 30-minute dose of something good. It's very practical.
Well, you know, when I started doing radio 10 years ago, It was still called internet radio. It wasn't like podcasting yet. It wasn't that famous. But anyway, they said, don't talk about religion. Don't talk about politics, you know. And at the time, I hadn't found the Lord yet, you know. And right after I started doing radio, I gave my life to Christ. And I did a lot of speaking at the time. And I would use, you know, I think Jesus was the original networker. You know, he got two to get two to get two. And all that there, and I yep. would just, you know, be in a networking group and speaking for lunch group, and you know, ask someone to say grace, and I just found that so many people were like minded, but you know, everybody was afraid to talk about it. So one of the things that I think mm-hmm. is very good is if you're not ashamed to speak it. Okay, now politics, that's a different argument altogether because that could just wear you out. But God, we know, is the real deal. Politics, it's kind of, we're getting tricked here or there or somewhere. But with God, it's just different. And when you can speak to people that you're around, like, I don't know. I just think that there's no check that can be written that can make you feel as good as what that contractor said to you when he told you why he referred you. And it's moments Absolutely. Like that they've talked about in the Bible, that you reap what you sow, and you didn't do it to get the job with the contractor. You didn't even know him. So to me, that kind of stuff is just awesome and people need to be reminded of, because, you know, we trudge through that crap every day of life. You know what I mean? And you can go in fighting or you can go in smiling, you know. But at the end of the day, you're still tired. And if you can get a pat on the back like that, you know what I mean? That just, it's unexplainable, I think. So I commend you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. And it's, you know, it's a bumpy road. And when one watches the news these days, whether it's what's happening or the politics, and which, by the way, I think these days mostly British line anyways, on both sides of the aisle. On all five sides of the aisle. And mm-hmm. it's real easy just to see all the mud and the yuck. And I think that one of the values that we Christians can bring to society today, when you have a society that's face is shoved so deep in the mud, as our society is, there's a great value in coming and saying, look, there is light, there is truth, there is good, there is hope, there is peace. There is more to this life than this crud that is just spewed all about us that we're told to accept is what we're supposed to be chasing. And people are starting to realize it. People are starting to realize the lies. You know, I think when we look at the younger generations coming up now, there's a lot of negative statistics people like to throw around about the younger generations. But I think one thing I do think I like that I see is a lot of them aren't just accepting the old lies for the sake of accepting the old lies. They're starting to realize that they've been played and there's something else out there. They don't know what yet, but they're mm-hmm. looking a little bit and saying, what is it? And I think this is a great opportunity for those of us who are Christians to say, we have the truth. We know what we were made for. Our lives and our bodies aren't just accidents. This isn't all just coincidence. God exists. He's real. He had a plan. He loves you. And his way is the only way for you to find what you're really made to find. And that's mm-hmm. a powerful message that only we can bring.
Amen to that, man. I couldn't agree with you more. I have a 23-year-old is my youngest in business with us, and a 29-year-old. And the 23-year-old thinks a lot differently. I mean, it's just a different – and I'm sure that my parents – I know my parents said it, and their parents said it. And you know, every generation is tearing up the world, right? And in some reasons, in some ways they're right, and in some ways they're not right. And I think that it's good that – people stand up for what they believe, because we're supposed to be allowed to do that. And I don't want to get off on politics, because that's just a different show that I don't qualify for. What I want to talk about here is I always ask people if they've written a book. And it says here that it's a goal of yours, and you actually have one in draft, but it isn't ready yet. So I just want to tell you a quick story about me. When I found the Lord in 2010, it was because of my health issues, and I went in hoping Jesus and came out selling Jesus. It was just unexplainable, and it's a longer story. But one of the things that I found from it was I had to tell my testimony. I had to tell what my experiences were in life, just like you explained in the beginning of the show, how you were angry and what caused that and the different things in it. And there's things that you had to tell your children and your wife and go back and do. But I think that if you stop waiting and just pull the trigger and write your story and let people know what it is, you're going to be able to set so many more people free from your testimony that they can see that what you have done. Because your story is so common in today's world because of what was handed down to us, and we didn't know how to deal with it or why, and what we perceived it to be and what we actually did with it. So I think telling your story, one, will be able to share with your downline of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that they will know why that chain was broken, and they will know not to go on that path. And so, you know, we always live to leave our children something, right? And it doesn't have to be a value of cash. It has to be handed down the chain, that link that was broken, so they can continue to honor the new way. So don't hold back on doing that book. I always like to say you don't want to cheat everybody out of knowing who the real you is.
Right. Absolutely. I appreciate that encouragement.
Yeah. Because otherwise, why would God have put you through all the stuff you've gone through? You know what I mean? So anyway, I always try to make sure that people do that. And in today's market, you know, I wasn't smart enough to write my own book. I had it ghostwritten. Okay. But whatever it takes to do it in today's world, you can throw an ebook up on the screen, and it's not very expensive. And one of the things that you have to know, it's never going to be perfect because the story's not perfect. It's about an imperfect person that's becoming better. So a lot of people wait till it's just perfect. And I guess right. I'm more of a ready, aim, fire guy, ready, fire, aim, instead of ready, aim, fire. And sometimes that's good. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
More
no,
people
right.
will
absolutely
be able
right.
to share what your worker shared from you. So anyway, I didn't mean to get off on the subject there. We're running out of time.
No, I appreciate
what
it.
What I'd like to find out from you is what I asked every one of my guests, Michael. Here we are in 2018, coming into 2019. What is something that you recognize this year that you need to share with others they might take a look at and how they might be able to overcome it?
You know, I think there's – let me tell you one of the game changers for me this year. And so I still struggle with repeated sin, habitual sin, I call it. You know, we all have weak spots. I think about the writings of Paul when he talks about how he begged the Lord to remove the thorn in his side, and the Lord said, no, I'm not going to remove it. And we don't know what Paul's thorn in his side was, but I know what mine is. And I had a period this year I was getting really down and bummed and frustrated that I didn't seem to be able to make any progress against – this some of these problems I was dealing with, some of these issues with anger, some of these issues with sexuality particularly, and just I remember getting more and more bummed and thinking real poorly of myself. And then I ran into this neat little line that I heard from in a sermon, and he basically said that when you're dealing with habitual sin, you need to be very forgiving of yourself and ruthless of your environment. And I thought that was great. And he gave an example. He said, look, if you're having troubles with pornography, for example, then understand that you are a broken, fallen, sinful person, and just getting angry at yourself isn't going to help the problem. Instead, you know, we need to have this sort of more sense of mercy with ourselves, but to be absolutely ruthless with our environment, which means you get covenant eyes or some sort of blocking on every single electronic device you have. You are ruthlessly removing yourself from ever being in a position where you'll be exposed to that kind of stuff. And just kind of going through and just consistently saying, where am I falling? Get my butt out of those situations. And the idea of being ruthless with your environment, but gentle and forgiving on yourself, I thought was really helpful. Because that helped me to be able to step back a little bit and say, you know, I'm fallen. I am made in sin. Beating myself up isn't helping. But here's something practical I can do that makes a real difference.
Yeah, it's because God has already forgiven us. The hard part's forgiving ourselves. And, you know, especially I always blame it on being Catholic. You know, there was guilt in my life at one time. So, you know, I always feel like I let it down, right? And so one of the things that I found is God has already forgiven us. And if we could forgive ourselves, oh, Lord, what could happen, right? But while we're trying to do that, the enemy plays on us, you know, and they know our weakness. And I went to a men's retreat, and a guy showed how the devil plays on us by opening doors and closing them behind us, and we can't get out. We're trapped. And the only way out is to ask God for help. And, you know, the good thing is God will help us every time we ask him. So,
amen to that, brother.
So, listen, tell people how they can join into your show.
Absolutely. So, the easiest way to find me and get part of the content I send out, if you have like any sort of subscription set up next, which I'm sorry, my brain just died there for a second. Any sort of podcast app on your phone is what I recommend. If not, you can find a lot of great ones for free. And just search for The Catholic Commute. I know it says Catholic, but honestly, I've got a lot of great Protestant listeners, too, I love. And most of the time, what I'm talking about is things like how to be a better man, how to be a better husband, how to be a better father, how to get your kids out there engaged, how to learn to have open yourself up to your wife. You know, these sort of topics, I think, are topics that we all struggle with across the board, that as Christians, we come together and we need to unite these topics. I try to put out a little 30-minute episode once a week. It's a great little dose of something real practical that will help you out in your walk.
Awesome. Michael, thank you so much for spending time with us today and being so transparent and letting people understand the value of transparency and allow them to know that you are a work in progress just like the rest of us. About you is you've taken that step forward to make correction in your life. And every day is a correction, but every day God is.
Amen to that, brother.
So I'm just so thankful for the opportunity and the blessing to be able to have this conversation with you. I hope to have you back on the show again.
That would be my pleasure, Tony. Thank you so much. It was a fantastic discussion.
Thank you, sir. Folks, we're at the end of the show. And what I'd like to do is just do a quick wrap-up, right? I want you to make sure to go to thestakesarehigh.com. Check out Michael, okay? Check out his podcast. And if you want to meet him and you're a little shy, email me, info@toughtalkradionetwork.com, and I'll do a personal introduction to you, okay? I know that he would be able to help you get past some of the struggles that you have in your life, if it's something that you've related to in this podcast. If you want prayer, hey, hit us up. You know my email is info@toughtalkradionetwork.com. Join us every week on the Tough Talk Christian Radio Show here on the Tough Talk Radio Network Studios live out of Houston, Texas. And I'm just blessed to say thank you to all my guests all the time for doing what they do. Now, I'm going to just tell you something that's in the bottom of my signature, something that I try to live by. It's Ephesians 6:7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord. I know that's not easy, folks, but it sure is a challenge. I hope to see everyone again next week. I hope everybody has a blessed week.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.
Holiday your heart out at Old Navy. Today only, all sweaters are 50% off. Plus, get 40% off your entire purchase today at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Sweaters valid 11/19, 40% valid 11/15 to 11/20. Exclusions apply. See store for details.